with another episode.
Absolutely. It's getting down to the end of the year.
I know. And craziness has not stopped.
Oh.
In between work and I know you've been baking a ton of cookies that sound amazing.
Yeah, between baking and I'm so happy to be getting some vacation time coming up here.
Did I tell you about the new work that I did this past week?
The custom project?
Well, that one, but I bought it's antler slices.
And okay.
I to get very tiny brushes. But the sunsets with the dragons that I've been painting with the trees and all that, I painted okay. on these. And they're basically a little bit smaller than a pop cap, like a beer cap top.
Yeah.
That's how little they are. So I got to tiny brushes, and I had to adjust how I paint them. But I painted tiny pendants this past week.
Well, that sounds interesting.
They turned out cute, just really little. I know the year's almost over. Lots and lots and lots of stuff to do. And stories, they have not stopped.
Oh, no. I was waiting for you, I was going through, and it's like, it's not just like stuff that we're talking about, just the weirdness.
Mm-hmm. I think when winter hits, people go crazy, you know?
It's gotta be, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just seeing all the news about different things, and it's like, what is going on with you people?
Well, if your country ain't on fire, people are going crazy. But even the past was kind of weird and crazy, would you say?
Yeah, I agree. This whole year.
But no, this, I say, we're going to go ahead and just dive on in.
Sure.
This one, I thought it was kind of amusing, since all the craziness. Why so many medieval manuscripts depict violent rabbits? I thought that was funny. Medieval art sure is weird. We already featured people happily dying, battle snails, and cat licking their butts galleries. We might need to look up cat licking their butts later. For some strange reason, medieval artists also loved painting violent rabbits on a murderous rampage. You have any ideas why? They want to know. I think anybody wants to know why. Poor guy's getting decapitated by a rabbit.
Yeah, by two.
Well, the second one, the guy's actually getting decapitated. He's actually got the sword going through his neck. And then you got another one that's getting bludgeoned to death. You got a dog riding a rabbit, and another rabbit riding a dude, and they're fighting. You got a dead rabbit with its guts hanging out, and you got rabbits with catapults and arrows and all that. You got a rabbit riding a lion, fighting. The next one is the rabbit beating the dog.
That's what I was kind of wondering myself. Or is it fanning the dog?
I don't know.
I mean, given what these pictures are, I would say it's not fanning.
Yeah, it's probably beating him. And the next one, maybe the dude's getting ready to be eaten. He's being carried on a spit. This, I can't figure out what this one is. It's like a lion tail, octopus body, what, eagle legs, and a monkey's head?
Yeah, definitely, it's definitely riding.
The rabbit with a stick. Another one's boxing a dude. Though, were they smoking stuff? Like, I'm curious. Or this is just, like, stuff out of nightmares.
Oh, absolutely out of nightmares. Yeah, it...
Little old man getting decapitated. Dogs finding rabbits. There you go. The dogs are trying to fight back. I like it how they have, like, giant swords. The rabbits have giant swords. It's kind of funny. Another dude basically getting ripped apart.
Oh, there's the dogs attacking the rabbits.
Uh-huh. Dude in a tree. I'm thinking he's hiding from the rabbits or trying to. Another guy being carried. Rabbits fighting a three-headed something. There's a dog. These pictures, we'll have all this posted, but these pictures are funny and crazy at the same time. I don't want to know what this dude's doing to this chick, this rabbit.
Yeah.
And that's all. But well, let's see. Should we read some of these comments? Because there's 169 of them. This one says, obviously, hoops are real. So the Titanic fight against a rabbit in Monty Python's Holy Grail film was actually based on academic truth?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, that whole thing was based on a Shakespeare play anyway.
Uh-huh. Snail people, I saw at least two snail people. This one here, it says doctor whatever, so maybe they knew what they were talking about, who knows. It says the artists were Christian monks who would have known the hare and the conies for biblical scripture in, I can't pronounce that one, or Leviticus. The hare is unclothed and therefore unclean, but the coney in the British Isles is often associated with Solomon's reference to being wise but feeble. The coney catchers was Elizabethan library mythology described theft and trickery. That's interesting. And this one says, at least rabbit. One rabbit is not murderous, third from the bottom. No, that's because it's probably doing something else. Heads laying on top of the chick. So we're going to start off with murderous rabbits. No wonder they make great stew. Alrighty then. So you go from murderous to drunken.
Yeah, a raccoon passes out after drinking too much wine at a Christmas market, which, I mean, haven't we all?
No, I don't like wine. I get hungover. In Germany, too. I'll stick with the beer.
Oh, even worse, the raccoon was shot dead after getting drunk. It's said to have gotten hold of the alcohol after sipping mulled wine left over from glasses in the market. A local policeman said that it was obviously intoxicated, but they didn't carry out a breathalyzer, so there's no official word.
Poor Rocket didn't get breathalyzed test.
Although initial reports indicated the raccoon was taken to an animal shelter, the case was instead handed over to a local hunter who shot it, so it did not have a happy ending. Raccoons are not protected by conservation laws in Germany and therefore can be legally hunted. That's kind of sad.
I got a view of the stumbling around and playing with women's shoes and then sleeping on a step. I don't know, I always thought raccoons was more for here, like here in the States. I didn't realize they were over there. Unless they originated over there and came over here, I don't know. Well, we go from murderous to drunkenness to craziness. How's that? A dog starts house fire in Essex by turning on a microwave. And of course, it has to be a husky. A dog started a house fire when it managed to turn on the microwave on, a fire service said. The husky-type animal, which was left on its own in the house in Stanford Hope, turned on the appliance, which was on a work table in the kitchen. A pack of bread bowls, which had been placed inside, began to burn and cause a small fire. The owner, who was not home at the time, was alerted to the fire by an app on their phone. The fire service said the owner's device allowed them to view the live feed from a camera that was set up in the house. They said it was a very strange incident. They found in the kitchen filled with smoke, but made sure the flames did not spread to the rest of the house. And demonstrates that microwaves should not be used to store food when they aren't in use. Yes. Always keep your microwave clean and free of clutter or food and any packaging. Animals or children can turn them on more easily than you think, so please don't run the risk. The dog was not hurt. He was hungry. Probably knew the food in there.
We were saying husky would be the only thing tall enough to reach the microwave, probably.
Well, this sounds like it was just on a what we call like a counter.
Yeah.
So anything that A could jump or B tall enough to reach it, it's going to get it. But the dog probably seen them more than once put food in there, and they knew it was in there. So I'm thinking it was trying to open it, and instead turned it on.
Probably.
But at least nothing really severely got damaged.
Meanwhile, we're going to go off of the animals for a while, and going to the past. It's recently the work of Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark. His work brought to the field of ufology. She's a professor emeritus at Montana State University, a former director of the Center for Bilingual and Multicultural Education. Dr. Clark, who is Cherokee Choctaw, has worked with indigenous people for most of her career and has some interesting stories to tell, particularly when it comes to UFOs. One story from her book that she tells about her grandmother, the story of the Star People. Her grandmother told her the ancient legends of her people. She says, "My childhood reality included narratives that trace the origins of the indigenous people of the Americas to Pleiades, stories of little people who intervened in people's lives, and legends about the magical gift of the DNA of the Star People that flowed in the veins of indigenous tribes of the earth. I embraced the stories of the celestial visitors who lived among the Indian people as part of my heritage." One gentleman she talks about, by the name of Harrison, told the story about how his grandfather took him on a spaceship in the summer of 45 when he was about 12 and explained how the Army Corps of Engineers came to the reservation 2 years later to survey the river and surrounding area for the reservoir. Originally, there was no reservoir. The Army Corps confiscated the land and in return gave his grandfather a worthless piece of land on the other side of the butte. Doctor's relationship with Harrison grew over the years, and the two of them met when his school district requested her assistance for a grant. She explains, "It took 25 years of visits before Harrison asked me if I believed in the Star People. She said yes, and then he said, 'Somebody told me you collect stories of the Star People. I find that unusual.'" So basically, she's been finding all of these different stories, some baby legends, you know, hard to say if they're true or not. Harrison said, "I saw the ship and went aboard it. It was a long cylinder about 30 feet wide and 60 feet long. I measured it by pacing it off. Most of it stuck inside a butte close to the water level, and it was well camouflaged. You could see the butte now. It was covered by water when the Army Corps flooded the valley, creating the reservoir. The crash shook the ground so hard that Gramps thought the house was going to collapse. You can still see a crack in the foundation of the log cabin that Gramps said occurred when the spaceship crashed. The horses were so frightened that it took a month to round them up, and even then they were constantly trying to escape. At first, Gramps thought it was an earthquake, but when he cleared, he saw the craft. It hit with such a force that only a small section stuck out of the butte. But Gramps not only had a keen eye, he knew this land like the back of his hand. The smallest disturbance caught his attention. For the longest time, he sat on the butte watching for any sign of life. He kept the visual for days. Finally, after a week or so, he ventured to the place of impact. He said that the star men who crashed and survived there lived in their craft for approximately 5 months before another ship came and rescued them. He described them as being so white that you could almost see inside them. They had long, slender fingers, much longer than humans. Their hair was white. When the sun shined on it, Gramps said it looked like a halo surrounded their heads, and that sometimes they looked like angels depicted in the paintings of the Bible, except they did not wear gowns. Their eyes, too, he said they changed color depending on the light. He was particularly interested in their clothes. They wore a one-piece light green outfit. He told me there were times when he saw them wading in the river, and when he approached them, their suits were dry. He told me he wished he had a suit like that. When I think of the old man and how he viewed the star visitors, he did his best to describe what he saw. I'm sure if the same thing occurred today, the observers might offer more sophisticated perspective. So this is kind of interesting. We said before, you know, things like definitely there's legends that could have been aliens and we don't know it.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of like what the time space, you know, time thing is. Some saw them as gods, some seen them as aliens, some seen them as angels, demons. I think it just depends. Yeah. Why can't it be all the above?
Definitely.
I like these stories because they're so interesting.
Richard Wagamese is known as one of Canada's foremost authors and storytellers from the Wabasimung First Nation in Ontario. And according to him, my people tell of star people who came to us many generations ago. The star people brought spiritual teachings and stories and maps of the cosmos, and they offered these freely. They were kind, loving, and set a great example. When they left us, my people say there was a loneliness like no other. So again, this is, you know, even this is another reservation.
I watched documentaries on stuff like that, and they talked about how, you know, they would go to wherever they would go, basically what we consider like a church or praying, and it would come down. Like one of these star beings would come down to them, give them information and teach them and things like that. There's some interesting things. But this next story I thought was kind of hilarious. Why would you do something like this on purpose? I don't think so. But NASA broke the SLS fuel tank, but swears it did it on purpose. You did not. You're going to break and $1 billion machine, gas tank, whatever, and say you did it purposely. No, you don't want to admit you screwed up. I think there's another one where they went to take off and it was facing the wrong way. It was facing down, not up. So they were going to the middle of the Earth. But NASA's Space Launch System, the rocket system that will eventually provide the means for the space agency to send spacecraft and astronauts to the moon, is a very big deal. The project has been in the works for a long time, and now that it has finally started to come together. Oh, so they never did this before? Must be new. What happened to, like, the 11 missions that they did, like, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever?
Yeah.
50 years ago, because it was, what, 60s? 60s to 70s?
Yeah.
But, okay. let's see. NASA wants to make sure it is ready for its time in the spotlight. I think they're getting embarrassed about Elon Musk, but...
Well, yeah, they kind of should be, given how much he's done.
In a very, very short period of time, when these guys have been at it for 80 years. With that in mind, the NASA recently put a version of the SLS liquid hydrogen fuel tank to the ultimate test, pushing it too far beyond its design limits. The test ultimately resulted in the failure of the tank, and that's exactly what NASA said it was going for. That makes no sense.
No.
We purposely took the tank to its extreme limits and broke it because pushing systems to the point of failure gives us additional data, well, kind of, to help us build rockets. I guess, I don't know. We will be flying in space launch system for the decades to come, and breaking the propellant tank today will help us safely and efficiently evolve the SLS rocket as our desired mission evolves. But looking at the picture,
I do agree. Finding out how far it will take before something goes wrong is good to know.
But I'm almost wondering if they didn't that. They're saying they did it purposely, but they didn't know.
No.
It's all theoretical. They didn't know. But looking at this picture, is that the inside of the rocket? Like, where all the yellow is? Like, in the middle of it?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking of, like, a Pringles can. You split it up the side and kind of pry it open. You know, it comes apart at like, a seam. Because that's what it looks like. It looks like it just pushed open. Damn, they blew a Pringles can apart. So just how well did the SLS tank stand up to the most punishment test yet? Pretty well, actually, according to the NASA engineers. The tank was stood over 260% of the load stress it should ever have to deal with during a real mission. The tank maintained its for over 5 hours. Well, basically stability for over 5 hours before eventually failing. So I guess, well, that's not that bad. But however they did
and they weren't out in space at the time, which is what the point was.
Right, right. But this, okay. This story was earlier this month, because, you know, they've been testing. This one was 3 days ago, and it also follows this one. They screwed up again and cut their live streaming.
the live stream of the Boeing Starliner spacecraft was in stable orbit following the issues, and will return to Earth earlier than intended. The burn needed for rendezvous with the International Space Station did not happen. Working on the issue, they tweeted. Boeing revealed later that the Starliner would return within 48 hours after failing to dock and launch.
There's their cookie. Yeah. They were going to make cookies. Remember?
Yeah.
They don't get their hot cookies for Christmas now. Dang it!
That's so rude.
I know, no space cookies.
It's a, quote, new era of human spaceflight. Obviously not.
Nope. Because they went in the wrong orbit. They're not going to meet up with the space station. Someone's calculation was off. Which stuff like this kind of, like, makes me laugh. Because they did this how many years ago with basically the ability of your brains and a bloody cell phone.
Yeah. There's, and what they had, like, little to no, they could do it with, like, 50K.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can't even get something to fly.
Nope. They can't even get it to where it needs to go in the right trajectory, which that scares me if they can't get it into the right orbit. And you want to send people to Mars, Moon, Venus, Europa? Heaven help the astronauts. I wouldn't want to do it. I'd be scared out of my mind. Or somebody got fired. Take a pick, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Your turn. Sorry.
No, that's fine. But going from that, going from flying to preventing from flying. Yeah, I guess that kind of follows. Gone with the Wind man, whose deadly farts can kill mosquitoes, hired to create mosquito repellents made from his own gas.
I got the next one. You're skipping me.
Did I miss one?
Yeah, I'm trying to get it. It won't load. Basically, the story is about a bald eagle that got attacked by an octopus in Canada.
Oh, that was the one after it, so that's why I got confused.
Oh, okay, well.
So go ahead.
It doesn't want to load, but basically it's just a bald eagle. The witness managed to catch the eagle with the octopus still attached. Thanks to the help of a grappling hook, it is reported that the octopus was relatively good natured and gave up the catch much without a fight. So, yeah, the octopus tried to eat a bald eagle. What did the bald eagle do to tick it off?
I'm watching the video of this right now, or I'm trying to.
Yeah, it doesn't
like it. They're trying to reel the eagle in.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing's got hold.
Oh yeah, it's got the bald eagle wrapped up tight. Ugh, of course, right? But yeah, this is another one, another crazy. You wouldn't expect to see an eagle being attacked by an octopus.
No, that's the last thing you would expect.
Well, the last thing to expect is the one you were about to start, which is, wait, hold on. Oh, mine's out of order, that's why. There we go. Okay, you got you got the farts. You got the gas.
This story originated on a parody website. Mosquito repellent companies have not expressed interest in working with the man whose flatulence can kill mosquitoes. So, you know, rat right there. In fact, that's kind of the article now that they have found out it's fake.
Which is, something like this wouldn't surprise me. Because basically all they would have to figure out is what is the guy eating? What is generating this combination of gas? Talking about stinky, this next one is pretty stinky. Sperm whale carcass explodes all over marine biologists. I thought it was hilarious. I'm not going to watch the video, but
I'm not either.
You might hurl, warning. Watching the sperm whale explode, but not as much as the whale did. According to the YouTuber who posted this fun and educational video, this is the case of a sperm whale that washed up dead somewhere near the Ferrero Islands when a marine biologist attempted to perform an autopsy on the deceased whale. The buildup of methane gas inside caused an absolute explosion of blood and guts. While that was disgusting, since the carcass had been sitting for some 2 days by the time the biologist was ready to examine it, normal in nature processes of decomposition have been taking place. Once the researcher punctured the whale enough to release the methane, well, you saw what happened.
We didn't, but we know what happened.
Video contains footage of some very, maybe, disturbing video. I hit play. So it's laying on the, kaboom. It's laying on shore and it exploded. It was next to a building to boot, and this poor guy's shack is covered in guts.
Oh.
Photographers are walking around laughing. Older guy's like, I'm getting out of here. And he's got a hook with like a saw and stuff on it, and he's cutting at the belly of the whale. He's got kind of like a hook knife.
Okay.
Boom. It doesn't look like it got the guy, but it got the building. It is probably 20 feet away or more from this hut, shack, or whatever you want to call it on the beach. And it got covered in guts. Imagine being inside and having to come out and your building is covered in guts. I wouldn't be too thrilled. But it looks like it was in a dock area that fishermen would go in and out of, and it probably was towed ashore. As sad as it is, most likely it had a belly full of plastic. But that was gross. I think we're going to end with gross.
Yeah. I can't believe.
Well, now put that in as humans and everything else, something like that happens. I've heard stories of having to clean up people. Mm-hmm. Pretty gross.
Very. Mm-hmm. Very.
And I put my cinnamon rice aside. I got cinnamon rice pudding. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So anything else? Do we want to get in trouble and flip through Facebook? Because we get in trouble on that.
Oh, we get in trouble way too often doing that.
Yeah, I've been sending you some doozies this week.
Yeah, there's been a couple that I've just like, where did she find that? And why?
I don't know. I don't know. Craziness, craziness, craziness. But what do you say? Go ahead and take on out, because we have something special in a couple days after this as well. So
we do.
Yay. But you want to go ahead? Do you want to go ahead and take us out, or
sure?
Okay.
If you guys have any cool stories you want us to know about, give us you want to give us a Christmas present, we would be perfectly happy to hear about those. You can email us at tftdpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get a hold of us on Facebook, where we're going to have all the stories we talked about today up there, along with the new episode. You can find us on the Weeby Geeks Network and the 10-Year Bound Network. And if it's good, probably too late by the time this episode comes out to order for the holidays. But if you want any cool swag with our logo on it, definitely run over to TeePublic, because I'm sure there's about 20 sales going on this week that you can get something for pretty cheap. So until our special episode this week.
Until our special episode. So everybody stay safe. Keep your eyes sky, ear to the ground. And we will talk with you guys next time around.
Bye.
Bye.